Support for this public radio podcast comes from AIG Travel Guard, providing travel insurance designed to help travelers face the unexpected. Learn more at travelguard.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a multifaceted, multidimensional, and multi-talented man. However, many of us really don't know the man. We find ourselves a victim of 30-second soundbites on the 6 o'clock news where excerpts from his omnipresent I Have a Dream speech are played over and over again. Thus, a great many persons never come to the realization that there was, at the very least, two periods to Dr. King's life. Period 1 began with the Montgomery bus boycott of December 1955 and culminates with the enactment of the Voting Rights Bill of August 1965. This period is replete with marches like the Selma to Montgomery, Alabama trek and writings like Dr. King's Letters from a Birmingham Jail. This, many of us are familiar with. Period 2 is a lot more obscure. It began in the fall of 1965 and continued to Dr. King's brutal assassination on April 4, 1968. Ironically, it was a speech that Dr. King made exactly 1 year before his assassination that would irrevocably change his life and, as many believe, hasten his death. That audacious and uncompromising stand was his decision to deliver a speech entitled Beyond Vietnam, a speech said to have been heard around the world. King, a self-proclaimed pacifist, saw the Vietnam War as an unjust, evil, and futile war. Followers of Dr. King in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the NAACP importuned him to keep silent about the war because he risked alienating President Johnson and the financial supporters of SCLC. Dr. King responded to those who asked him to be quiet by saying, "I'm sorry, you don't know me. I am not a consensus leader. I don't determine what is right and wrong by looking at the budget of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference or by taking a Gallup poll of the majority opinion. Ultimately, a genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a molder of consensus." Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., once having decided to do what was morally correct, if not politically correct, began to release a barrage of vituperations at his white allies in government and the media who supported his stand on nonviolence during the sit-ins and freedom rides and then rejected his position on Vietnam. They applauded us in the sit-in movements when we nonviolently decided to sit in at lunch counters. They applauded us on the freedom rides when we accepted blows without retaliation. They praised us in Birmingham and Selma, Alabama. Oh, the press was so noble in its applause and praise when I would say, "Be nonviolent toward Bull Connor. Be nonviolent toward Jim Clark." There is something strangely inconsistent about a nation and a press that would praise you when you say, "Be nonviolent towards Jim Clark," but will curse and damn you when you say, "Be nonviolent toward little brown Vietnamese children." Many may have wondered why elected officials like Senator Jesse Helms and others voiced vigorous opposition to making Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday a national holiday. Many could not understand why there was so much objection to a man who simply wanted to hold hands and sing, "We Shall Overcome." Dr. King did more than just sing songs of passivity. He began to provide during the last 3 years of his life a very analytical perspective on the evils of militarism, racism, and economic exploitation, a tune that was and still is dismissed by many as so much harmonic dissonance.